We have a very special guest with us today. His name is Tony Perkins. He is president of the Washington-based Family Research Council. He is the host of his own radio station, radio show, I should say, in 300 stations nationwide called The Washington Watch Weekly. He's authored a book entitled Personal Faith, Public Policy. He is a former Marine. Mr. Perkins, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, great to be with you guys.
Now, I want to get you to weigh in right off the bat on something that's in the news that I find quite unbelievable, and that is the situation with Congressman Wiener. Tell me your thoughts on that situation.
Well, be careful of strange tweeters. look, let me tell you, it's interesting on two fronts. One, we constantly hear this effort that, we don't want to talk about social or moral issues in the political process, but when it comes down to it, character really matters. Yeah. And I mean, I think there's a lesson to be learned here. One is, studies actually are showing this out, that people's inhibitions are decreased through this social media network, and you got to be careful. People are drawn into this, and I think he had a very promising career. I don't like his politics, but he's a very funny guy.
He is.
And he is he's kind of fun to listen to, but I think he really, really hurt his career with this, and I'm not sure that he'll be able to recover. I think he could have been mayor of New York had he not stepped into this. It's dangerous territory, and everybody needs to be careful.
No question. And to watch him a week ago blame others, definitively say that it was not me, he doesn't know if it's a picture of me, but I was hacked, so on and so forth, and make statements so strongly that way, invite the press in, and then I'll come out and admit it because he had to admit it. Given those circumstances, do you feel he should resign?
No, I don't think he should resign. I do think that, look, he made a he was wrong in doing it. I think that I could tell his response told me immediately that he had done it, because when he said he hired a private investigator but not the Capitol Police, the reason he didn't get the Capitol Police to look into it, because he would have been filing a false police report,
right,
which would have been a crime. That was a sign to me right there that he had been a party to this. Look, he has an issue. Voters know about it. They have a right to consider it when it comes to time for re-election. But I don't necessarily think he should resign for office. I know some will disagree with me on that. But look, there's a lot of other folks that have some issues. They just haven't been exposed. I think we've got to be forgiving. He said, look, I've got a problem with this. I'm going to try to get some help. Let's hope he does.
Yeah, I certainly hope he does, and certainly, you've extended him a lot of grace in that area. Tell me this: do you feel like there's a double standard? Because it seems to me that if a Republican was in this situation, we had one recently, he resigned right away. But if he hadn't, I think the press would have crucified him. Don't you think that?
Yeah, there is no question. There's a double standard. But let me also say this: I think there is an understanding when you hold up. He's never been known to hold up an issue. Policies and the issues of moral values, okay?
Right.
Oftentimes it's the Republicans who advance kind of the pro-family agenda.
That's right.
So there is a double standard. But look, when you walk under that banner, you've got to make sure that, you have things in order. Now, is a double standard right? No, I don't think it is. But it's there, and you got to live with it. I mean, look, I'm the head of the Family Research Council in Washington. People would be all over it if I did something like that.
They
and
would.
Rightfully so. I mean, it's there, but look, you just got to live with it.
I got it. Okay. We got Wienergate out of the way. For our listeners, and our listeners probably already know who the Family Research Council is, but tell us, for the folks who don't know, tell us about the Family Research Council and the mission of your organization.
Well, in a nutshell, we've been around for almost 30 years in Washington, D.C., and we work on policies as it pertains to families, and we do it from the historic Judeo-Christian worldview. We think the family is essential to the survival of Western civilization, and we work to promote policies, whether it be tax policy, whether it be the issue of life or marriage, that supports that viewpoint.
Now, what do you think the important, the Family Research Council and you personally, what's the importance of the Defense of Marriage Act, and where do you stand on it right now?
Well, obviously, we were very supportive. It originated at the Family Research Council back in 1995. It passed in 96. Bill Clinton signed it into law. And it does two things. One, for the purposes of the federal government, it defines marriage as being the union of a man and woman. And then secondly, it protects states from having a redefinition forced upon them. We see, and the social science clearly backs this up, that the family is indispensable to the furtherance of civilization. And nothing could be more important to the family than that cornerstone of marriage between a man and a woman in a lifelong relationship. So our policies should do nothing that inhibits that type of family formation.
Eric Holder and the Justice Department, the president, under the president's direction, have stopped defending the law. Obviously, that's the law of the land. Is the Family Research Council, and are you actively encouraging them in different ways to go back and defend that?
Well, it's interesting. You've had a court that has declared the government takeover of health care to be unconstitutional, but the administration is doing everything they can to defend that law. But you have, on the other hand, the Defense of Marriage Act, which you've had some lower courts have challenged, but it's certainly incumbent upon the administration to defend a duly enacted law, but they're walking away from it saying, no, what we have done is, because their heart clearly is not in defending marriage, is that we've weighed in and encouraged the House leadership to take up the slack here and defend a law that was passed overwhelmingly by a bipartisan majority of the House and Senate, and they're doing that. So we have the attorney Paul Clement, one of the best attorneys in the country, will be defending this law as it goes up to the Supreme Court.
Now, a Christian typically is going to be defined by his labor that benefits Christian beliefs. With that being said, and I'm not talking about the debate whether the president's a Christian or a Muslim, but do you believe he's a Christian based upon his works?
Well, you know, Jesus said very clearly, you'll know them by your fruit, and whether or not they produce things that is wholesome, beneficial, and in keeping with the teachings of Christ. I would have to say that given what the priorities have been from this administration to promote policies that are destructive to the family, clearly they have bought into the whole gay agenda where they're promoting same-sex marriage. That is not in keeping with the teaching of Scripture. So I would say this administration, as they promote sexual promiscuity through their very liberal sex education programs and then exporting that to other countries, they're leaning heavily upon developing countries to adopt the same liberal policies that have led many children in this country into promiscuous activity that's led to disease, led to depression. And so I would say, no, it's not his policies are not in keeping with the teachings of Christian Scripture.
We're talking today to Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. Tell me why it's so important for people in politics to put forth Christian principles.
Well, look, obviously, as Christians, we have as Americans, first, we have an opportunity to be involved in our government. I mean, that's the government of the people, by the people, for the people. That's who we are. We have an obligation.
That's a really good point.
as a Christian, we have even more so to be salt and light. And our viewpoint is just as valid as anybody else's, and we can't expect it to happen by osmosis. We've got to be engaged in the process, making our arguments, not simply from a scriptural standpoint. I mean, that's our foundation, but the social sciences actually back up every position we have. You know, truth is verifiable, and we look through history, and those civilizations, those countries, those communities that have operated off of those simple truths of Scripture have benefited, and the social sciences back that up. Nothing is more fundamental than the family. nothing is more fundamental to the family, as I mentioned earlier, than marriage. And so as we promote those ideals, it's good for all of society, not just those who participate in it, but you pay less taxes. When the family stays together, there's less consequence. You know, there was a study just a few years ago that the cost that taxpayers bear as a result of the breakup of the American family is over $1.2 billion annually. That's the direct cost. Now, you add in the indirect cost, and who knows what the price tag could be.
Staggering. Yeah, I would estimate it's dramatically more than that, the indirect cost. How about this topic, the rights of the unborn, the fight against abortion? You were on CBS with Katie Couric. Tell us about the fight against abortion and how it went on CBS.
Well, look, actually, I have to say I'm very encouraged on this front. We're making great advancements in the area of life. In fact, among the younger generation, they are stronger on the life issue than their parents' generation. And we're seeing clearly the last 3 years we've seen the polling data, the survey data of the American people shows a continual shift with the majority of Americans being pro-life. I think it's been, we've had a lot of educational opportunities. We've taken advantage of that. People have seen it. And it's not only been mixed with policy. That's important. But what also has been mixed with the life issue is the ministry of care pregnancy centers, churches, adoption agencies coming along and mitigating the consequences of wrong behaviors or bad decisions, not just holding up policy saying, hey, we need to be pro-life, but also saying, all right, we need to be pro-life, but we're going to walk with you through this process. We're going to help take care of the children and so on and so forth, the mothers. That's made a huge difference.
I've got about 1 minute left, but I'd love to have you weigh in on this. Is public debt a moral issue in your view?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Without question. It's a moral issue on several fronts. First, we're in putting future generations in bondage to debt, which is critically important to understand. We cannot spend money we don't have, but also from a standpoint of let me just put it this way, for those churches who say, well, look, or those Christians who say, look, all the church should be doing is being involved in evangelism and advancing, the gospel. Well, you know what? America has long been a bastion of mission work and being able to promote the gospel and protect the persecuted church in other countries. We're being hampered by that. As our economy falters, we can't put money into missions. And secondly, as we become indebted to a nation like China that is persecuting the church, we cannot speak up for the persecuted church because we're afraid of what they might do to us from a financial standpoint.
Well, we're talking today to Mr. Tony Perkins. He is the president of the Family Research Council. If folks want to know more about the Family Research Council, is there a website address you can give us?
Absolutely. They can check us out on the web at www.frc.org, or they can become my friend on Facebook, Tony Perkins, and we'll be happy to communicate with them. We've got lots of resources on that website, frc.org.
And is your book, Personal Faith and Public Policy, available on that website as well?
It is. They can order Personal Faith, Public Policy right there on the website. And what it does is it goes in, I authored it with Bishop Harry Jackson, an African-American pastor who's a Democrat. I'm a Republican. And what we did is we took some of the most pressing issues, seven of the most pressing issues facing the nation, and we worked through them, providing solutions based upon what Scripture tells us.
Mr. Perkins, you're a great American. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, great to be with you guys.
All right, we're coming up on a hard break.